My wife and I hear of that. It is working good. And the ceiling fans are running. And I go sit on my front porch with a toboggan and a sweater on and take a nap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my kid's like, something's wrong with you. I said, no. I said, we hanging meat in the house. I got to go thaw out.
Right.
I have to go thaw out.
Meatwalker.
Yes, man, yes. And it's amazing because I can go outside and it don't bother me at all. I be out there, I water the garden, I have a toboggan on, sweater on, don't bother me at all. T-shirt on, don't bother me at all. I don't like, my neighbor's got to be looking like, what's wrong with him? I don't bother me. Just me in the heat, standing in the heat some time, fully clothed. Yeah. Like, yeah, I feel good. But as long as she's comfortable, we good. Amen. Guys, we're going to be over in John chapter 14 this morning. We're talking about when you see Jesus, you see God. Sometimes it's hard to do that. While you guys are turning down, I'm going to just open up a little bit here. You know, the deepest longing of the human heart is to know God. Not just know about him, but to know him personally, intimately, truthfully. And the scriptures tells us something astonishing. The clearest, most complete way to know God is to look at Jesus. Not a symbol, not an idea, not a distant deity, but we're talking about a person, a savior, a friend. Jesus is God made visible, God made touchable, God made understandable, God made relational. And if you want to know what God is like, you don't have to search the heavens, chase miracles, or decode mysteries. You just need to look at Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Is that an excerpt from your book?
Maybe so.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good.
That's what AI deducted from my writing. Mm-hmm. And I love writing and plugging stuff in there. You know, Grammarly. So I think I said, share this word back. You know, people, more the younger generation, maybe all generation. So they're writing, but they're using AI to write a lot of their materials. Mm-hmm. And so companies are getting hip to that and everything. Mm-hmm. And so now when you go on Grammarly, it checks to see if it's AI. So I love the challenge of writing stuff and like, and it's like, none of it's AI. So,
Absolutely.
It really helps you to really, as far as lean into the spirit, mm-hmm. lean into your talent, and really just lean, you know, not like, I'm going to AI write something. So yeah. But when you plug your writing into AI, they say, well, this is what I get from it. So really, this is what you get, you know, so great deduction. You know, I was out the other day and a sister reached out to me from San Francisco, I think it is, California. And some family, her mother's from here. And I think her father was Nigerian. But anyway, mom's passed away a year ago, got some land here down in Terry and needed some help. So I said, well, I go look around. I know this company down from the house here. And I thought it was something else maybe a couple of years ago, and I stopped buying ass. But it's actually a closing company. They close on houses. So I went in there, and I was talking. I ran into this lady, and she was there by herself. We got to talking, and she just got to talking and kind of found out she's Jehovah's Witness. And so we had a great conversation. A lot of times when you meet somebody with a different religion or believing in something, you're like, oh, you're wrong already. Ain't heard a word you say. But, you know, being like Jesus, I'm like, well, let's just have a conversation. I'm giving you this information. And the one thing that astonished me about her, she said, you know what? God's going to come back, and there's going to be one government, and King Jesus is going to reign. It's going to be in charge of everything. I was like, wow. Knowing my history of just dealing with Joe Witness, I was like, mm-hmm. King Jesus? Mm-hmm. But she's a seasoned lady. She's 65 years old. But it was a great conversation to see how we connected on that. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You seeing Jesus here? Okay. Mm-hmm. Seeing Jesus and God? You know, a young boy once asked his mother, what is dad like? She tried to explain his kindness, his strength, his humor, but the boy struggled to grasp it. Words weren't enough. One day, The father returned from a long trip. When the boy saw him, he ran into his arms. After a long embrace, the boy whispered, "Now I know what he's like." He didn't learn through descriptions. He learned through presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the gospel truth. Mm-hmm. God didn't just describe himself. He came near. He stepped into our world so we could see him, hear him, and touch him, and know him. You know, we're going to pick up in John 14. And this part of John 14, if your Bibles, if you have, we all have the regular Bible, but if you get it chronologically, this is actually them at the Last Supper, and Jesus is actually comforting them. And he's giving a couple of messages here to comfort them and everything. Good morning, guys. The message is comfort them and everything. So, picking up in verse 1 of John chapter 14, it says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and that if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Jesus, the way to the Father, is who he is. Verse 5 says, "Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know me. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Philip, I have been with you all this time, and still you do not know me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father? And do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. Instead, it is the Father dwelling in me, performing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the account of the works of themselves." Point one, the disciples struggle in ours. You know, in John 14, Jesus tells his disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And like us, guess what? They struggled. Why? Their expectation didn't match reality. You have to understand, in this part of the scripture here, they have been around Jesus in his adult ministry for close to 3 years. A year and a half of that, they walked closely with him. And she's like, "What do you mean you don't know me? You don't see the Father in me? You've been with me all this time." You see, their struggle was that their expectation didn't match the reality. It's because they wanted a conqueror, but they got a servant. That's how we offer the expectation. We want God to be one thing, but God said, "Well, no, I'm going to come to you this way." And we struggle with that. They wanted a throne so they could elevate themselves above others. But what did they get? They got a cross to free them from sin and bring them to salvation. They wanted a revolution. "We're going to take over, man. We're going to take over. Civil war, we're going to flip everything over." But what did they get? They got redemption and forgiveness. You see, We have to understand that Jesus meets us where we are, not where we pretend to be. He reveals God not in the way we expect, but in the way we need.
Amen.
Wow. You know, our expectation is like, this is how things should go down. Jesus is like, nah, it's not going to go down that way. This is actually the way it's going to happen. And we end up having, as I call, Jacob moment. We wrestle with God on certain things. You know, this is just the way it's going to happen. You know, I think about Sharice. I got this morning. I do this a lot in the middle of the night. I got this morning just praying about with excitement. Because I still look forward to the day when she will be fully restored and healed. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Now, I know some people talking like, well, you ought to just settle and be for that. And I was like, you know, and I think about it and say, well, but that would go against everything that I profess. Everything I believe, you know, that, no. I understand the reality of where we are. But I also know that God said it can get better.
Yes.
But God says you need to stay the course. You need to stay within his parameters and the way he thinks and not go off on your own. You know, God gives us what we need. God said, you don't need a conqueror. Not necessarily. You need a servant. And although Jesus is a great conqueror, but God said, you need somebody to help serve you, to help really to get you where you need to be so that we can be together forever. Mm-hmm. You know, God said, you don't need a throne to elevate yourself above other people. That's how we are sometimes. We love to be elevated above other people. You give us a little bit of power. Oh, I like that. But God said, we don't need that. No, you need the cross. You need to be free from that sin. You need to be free from all that stuff that's weighing you down. You need to be free. You need salvation. You know, sometimes we desire to be part of a revolution. We just need to just take it over. We have the power, you know. But God said, no, like them, you need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Trust me. This is what you really need. Trust me. This I know. Mm-hmm. You know, Philip's request when he said, show us the Father. It wasn't disrespectful. He was just asking a question. You would think it's disrespectful because you'd be like, man, you've been walking with Jesus all this time. He's been telling you all this time, the Father's in me, I'm in the Father, and you want to see the Father. But it was just an honest question. He wanted clarity. We all want clarity. He wanted certainty. Everybody in this room want what? We want some certainty. We just do. He wanted something visible. You know, and Jesus responded with a question that still confronts us today. Don't you know me? Don't you know me? Think about that. How long have you been walking with Jesus? How long have you been following Jesus the God? And sometimes don't you feel like, I just want a little more clarity? We feel like that. This past July, Milestone, I've been walking with God for 31 years. And still some of that like, it's like a little more clarity, God. It's a little more certainty. You know, but God has a way of reminding us of this, some of the simple things. You know, I think about Paul. God said, my grace is sufficient. You're good. What's the problem here? You know, we can look at Philip and say, Philip, man, you're walking with Jesus. You're there. Why are you asking those questions? But it applies to us. How long have you been walking with God? And how many times have you said to God, I need clarity. I need certainty. I need more God than what we got going on here in our relationship. Think about it. Like Philip, we wanted the same thing. We want something visible. That's how we be. But God says, what I've given you is enough. And God also responds to us as he responds to Philip. Don't you know me? You know, I feel like that's an invitation where he's inviting us to go deeper. Inviting us to come a little closer to him. Inviting us to see God through his life. Will you accept the invite and go deeper with Jesus? You know, I can only imagine these guys sitting here at the Last Supper at this table, and Jesus is having this conversation. He's comforting them. He's letting them know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would probably be like, well, take me with you. You know, take me with you. But He's basically preparing you, let you know when your work is done, there'll be a place for you. And I was like, man, wow, I can only imagine that. You know, we're going to pick up in John chapter 1, 14. And point two, we're going to talk about Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God. You know, you read scripture a lot over the years and you think like, man, I've seen everything. I know everything. But if you're like me, you go back many decades later and be like, when did they put this in the Bible? That's how I feel like, when did they put this in the Bible? I know I've read the Bible. When did they put this in here? And it's been all along. And if you're like me, if you got stacks of Bibles from when you first came in the kingdom, you go back and look at your old Bible. Let me go see it. Oh, it's in there. You as if like it's not there. You feel like that sometimes, like, it's in there. Man. But pick it in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what does God look like? Jump down to verse 18. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You know, so what does Jesus look like? I think that's the question. What does Jesus look like? Well, one, Jesus looks like God. And so what is God? God looks like what? Authority. What does that authority look like? Jesus was in the boat with his disciple. The storm was raging. They wonder, how can this man be taking a nap? And we about to sink. Jesus got up, told the wind to be still, and everything calmed down. God looks like authority. That authority came through Jesus. And Jesus spoke to the storm. What did the storm do? It stopped. That's what God looks like. That's what Jesus looks like. He commands demons and they flee. Remember the young man who was filled with demons and the disciples couldn't drive him out? Jesus drove him out. That's what God looks like, authority. He calls Lazarus and death let him go. That's what God looks like, authority. Two, God looks like compassion. He touches leopards in a community. Well, guess what? People weren't touching leopards at all. He weeps at graves. He wept at Lazarus' grave. And he feeds hungry crowds. And we know about the 5,000 that he fed. Three, God looks like mercy and grace. He forgives sinners. Talking about those who came before us and talking about us in this room and those who have yet to be born. He forgives sinners. He restores failures. I believe Peter is one of his great restoration story. If you love me, you'll what? Feed my sheep. He restored Peter. And he welcomes outcasts. What does God look like? Four, God looks like humility and obedience. He washes feet. He submits to the Father. He carries a cross he didn't deserve. Five, God looks like solidarity. He sits with the broken. He walks with the rejected. He stands with the suffering. Six, God looks like determination. He sets his face toward Jerusalem. He refuses to quit. He finishes the work. You see, when we see Jesus, we see the Father's heart on full display. Back in John 14:9, Jesus tells Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Ask yourself, in all these years that you have been communing with God, when you look at Jesus, do you see God? Do you see the Father? When you look at Jesus, do you see the Father? You see, Jesus is not simply like God. Jesus is God in human form. We just spoke about that in John 1:14 and John 1:18. Jesus is God in human form. And when we see him, we see the Father's heart. Imagine a mirror that doesn't distort, doesn't blur, doesn't lie. A mirror that shows reality perfectly. I don't know if I would want that mirror in my house. But you know what? Jesus is that mirror. He reflects the Father with absolute clarity. He shows us exactly what God is like. He reveals the truth about God's character, God's love, God's intentions for humanity. And when you follow Jesus, you are learning to be human as God intended. That means you're learning to be relational, compassionate, obedient, and faithful. Once again, Jesus replied to Philip, I have been with you all this time, and you still do not know me. Is it like that for us? We've been with Jesus all this time. Is Jesus saying to you, you still don't know me? You've been with me for decades, for years, and you still don't know me? Is it like that for us? Well, I hope not. And if it is, I'm so glad that we have today to correct that. Point three. What does this mean for us? Jesus replied, Philip, I have been with you all this time, and still you do not know me. So what does this mean for us? We must move from comfort to commitment. Jesus' question, do you know me, pushes us past casual Christianity. Knowing Jesus requires pursuit, discipline, and devotion. Or are you just a casual believer? Or are you a committed believer? There is a difference. If you're just casual, then God's only good for when you need something. But if you're committed, then guess what? You're working on God's time. You're living on God's time. You're there always. You're always in service. Two, we must study Jesus intentionally. Not just his miracles. You know, for a long time coming in the kingdom, I felt like for me, maybe some other people, you're just fascinated with all the miracles. The miracles are great. This is what I love about the Bible. The miracles. And it seemed like they just happened like that. And then God allows you to live life a little bit. And you're like, man, this miracle's not happening fast enough. Matter of fact, I'm still waiting for the fingers to get close together. You feel like that. But you know, when you study Jesus intentionally, you realize being in a relationship with God is not about the miracles. It's not about the miracles.
Right.
No matter how much you want it to be. Nope, it's about his motives. It's not just his teachings. It's his tone, how Jesus spoke to people, how he addressed people, how he made people feel when he spoke to them. You know, when you study Jesus intentionally, you learn that it's not just his action, but it was his attitude about us, about humanity. And Jesus loved us because his Father loved us. You know, we must imitate Jesus daily. If Jesus is the visible image of God, then our lives should be the visible image of who? Jesus. We must let Jesus reshape our expectation of God. God is not distant. God is not silent. God is not hidden. God is not unpredictable. And God is not unknowable. Knowing him changes you. And that's the whole point. God wants to change who you are. He no longer wants you to be like this world, but he wants you to be like Jesus. Because Jesus is the visible image of who? God. You know, the heart change that God wants is that God desires is not that you merely admire Jesus, because a lot of people admire Jesus, especially if you don't know him. Oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, he's this great prophet. He's this great prophet. He don't want you to admire Jesus. He wants you to become like Jesus. He wants you to become like his son. And a lot of us can relate to that, probably more sometimes in a negative way. You ever see those TV shows where they kind of do these demonstrations of families acting out, and the parents will say, well, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? You know, why can't you be more like so-and-so? Like so-and-so. Well, you know, God wants us to be more like Jesus. That's who God wants us to be like. Like, why can't you be more like my son? I've sent him here. He set the example. I need you to be like him. You see, God don't want you to be perfect. He don't want you to be flawless. He just wants you to be transformed. That's what he's looking for. He wants you to be transformed. You see, Jesus is the visible image of the visible God. And when you behold Jesus, you become like him. Your heart softens. Your mind renews. Your life shifts. Your relationships heal. And your purpose, they become clear. This is the journey of discipleship. This is the calling of the church. This is the invitation of Christ. Imagine walking with Jesus through the gospel, seeing God in human form. You would see his compassion in the crowds, his courage before the Pharisees, his tenderness with children, his authority over demons, his patience with doubters, his tears at Lazarus' tomb, his love on the cross, his victory in the resurrection. And as you see him, you will see God. And as you see God, you will see who you were meant to be. To follow Jesus is to be human as God intended. We have to realize that. He invites us to know him deeply, follow him faithfully, and reflect him boldly. Our Jesus is the visible image of God. Look at Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, you see the Father. Mm-hmm. You see his desire. And when you become like Jesus, you become transformed. Yes. Let's go to God in prayer.